You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Single Mom Success Podcast, Episode 5. Heather Wells and the Single Mom Blog present Single Mom Success, the place for single moms to find support, inspiration, and the path to their own success. Hey, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of Single Mom Success Podcast. I hope you guys are having a fantastic day. Today's podcast is all about what I like to refer to as hitting the reset button. And I find that this is actually very important, and the reason that this topic is being brought up is because I had a fairly challenging weekend with my son, and as most of you know, if you've been listening to my podcast so far, I have twin boys who are 14 years old, and if having twin 14-year-old boys was not enough of a challenge, both of my boys are special needs children. They both have traumatic brain injuries, and that causes a lot of other challenges. My son Gage has significant developmental delays. He is in special education program at school, and mentally, developmentally, he is in many areas closer to 8 or 9 years old as opposed to 14. He definitely has more of a childlike brain, and it's just something that we're waiting to see if he continues to develop past this, and you know, his brain continues to age past, you know, where he's at, or if he's going to be stuck at this age or this mentality or mindset for the rest of his life. It's one of those things that it's very hard to deal with and very challenging because of the fact that it's we just simply don't know. We don't know how he's going to progress. We don't know if he's going to progress. And there's no way of knowing until we get there, basically. and so it's always a challenge. But this weekend was definitely very difficult. One of the problems that you find with people, especially children, but people with brain injuries, especially in the frontal part of their brain. So the frontal part of your brain, and there's a very technical term for it, and I'm not going to try and say it right now because it's early and I haven't had enough coffee. But the frontal part of the brain, it controls things like your impulse control and your anger management and your what they call executive function. And what executive function is it's the part of your brain that allows you to break down things into steps, to organize, to plan, to do multi-step thinking. So most people don't really stop to think about how their brain actually processes things. It's just something we sort of take for granted. But when you have a child who has a brain injury, you don't. You quite literally have to start thinking about how your brain processes things because you have a child whose brain doesn't process things the same way as your brain does. And a lot of people have a hard time dealing with that. You know, I know that my daughter's dad, he never quite understood why my son behaved the way he behaved or did the things that he did, didn't understand why he had meltdowns when he had meltdowns. And, you know, if you don't live it and you've never really looked into it and researched it, it's hard to understand. And a lot of people just view it as, oh, you know, he's misbehaving or he's not, you know, he's not, you know, he's throwing a fit or whatever the case may be. Sort of in the way a lot of people may prejudge a child with autism. And in a way, it's sort of like that. It's like having a child with high-functioning autism. His brain doesn't process things the same way. You know, and his injuries were very severe. And he, you know, I was told that he was, you know, probably not going to survive his injuries. And if he did survive his injuries, that he would likely be in a vegetative state for the rest of his life, which you know, was definitely, I mean, it was just heartbreaking to hear that come from the doctors, but, you know, the brain is an amazing thing, and children are so resilient. You know, they bounce back sometimes from things, and you're just like, man, it amazes you. And my son did that. He amazed every single doctor that ever saw him, every neurologist that ever looked at him. They are amazed that he was able to recover the way he did. And in a sense, you know, I hate to say that he was lucky, because, you know, what happened to him was definitely not fortuitous at all. But he was lucky in the fact that he was so young when it happened, because his brain had not developed those pathways yet. They hadn't been built. He was only 5 months old when he was injured. And so basically what happened is his brain figured out a new way to learn. The pathways went a different way. And as, you know, I think most everybody knows, there's a lot of our brain that we don't use. We use, what, like 10% of our brain. And if we were to use all of it, I think there was a movie that just came out. I wasn't really a fan of it, the Lucy movie. It was okay. It was interesting. It was not what I expected it to be. But where they started, you know, thinking what would happen if we started using more of our brain, right? Power. What if we used more of a percentage of our brain, what would we be able to accomplish? What would we be able to do? And, but so my son, because he was injured so young, he was able to sort of develop new pathways. That's, you know, his brain sort of created a detour. So it definitely is harder for him to learn things, and it takes a lot of patience and it takes a lot of repetition. But also one of the other side effects of having the brain injury and the executive function altered the way that it was is my son is very black and white. There's not a lot of gray for my son, and there's not a lot of give for my son. So, you know, negotiating with him or having a conversation with him when he's got his mind set on something is very challenging and very difficult, and it definitely causes a lot of stress and tension in our home, because now that he's 14, you know, excuse me, it used to be that he would just throw a fit. He would scream and he would cry, and that was challenging enough, but it was something that, you know, he was easily, you know, we could calm him down and, you know, we would work with him. But now that he's 14, he is also very highly opinionated and very vocal with his, as teenagers are, with his displeasure. So he is definitely challenging us. And right now, you know, he has a twin brother, and his brother did have injuries as well, but his were not as severe. So he does have some challenges, but not to the extent that Gage does. And so right now he's having problems because he's sort of in the middle. He is not as delayed as Gage, but he does still have his problems, but he's also his twin. And so he's stuck in this world where he's trying to kind of build his own path and he's trying to advance in the way that he should be, but he also is sort of holding himself back in areas so that he is not leaving his brother behind. So it's a really challenging place for Connor right now, my other son. And it's sort of heartbreaking to see, because he's very frustrated with Gage, because he is again, having a lot of challenges. So he's very frustrated, but he also is struggling with that, you know, and I think some of it is even guilt that he is doing better than his brother. We also have my daughter, who is 7, who is highly intelligent. She doesn't have a brain injury. She's you know, she's actually got a very amazing brain. She's very gifted and very smart for her age. And so that challenge is that now her, you know, my son Gage at 14, his 7-year-old sister is starting to surpass him. And that is causing another set of challenges. So there's a whole lot of drama going on in our house. And then of course there's me trying to just kind of keep the peace and keep everybody, you know, on an even keel. So this weekend, my son informed me that they didn't have school today or tomorrow, Monday or Tuesday. And I said, well, that doesn't make sense. I don't understand. It's not on the calendar that you don't have school. And right off the bat, he was like, oh, so you're calling me a liar? I'm a liar? That's just, he's like, I knew you wouldn't believe me, and just sort of stormed off. And this has sort of been what we've been dealing with lately, is that it's almost an instant, like, he instantly feels like he's being attacked. He instantly feels like we're telling him that he's a liar, that, you know, he just, that it's not possible for other people to have viewpoints other than his. That just because I think something different than what he thinks, I'm saying that he's wrong. And that that's just not possible, or that that's not okay. Or, you know, that if I don't believe him and what he's saying, then why should he even be a part of our family? And it sort of spirals into this huge, you know, issue. And that's something that happens with people with brain injuries. It's a very instant anger, instant reaction, instant overreaction. And it's not something that they can easily control. They have a really hard time with it because it's just that impulse. Like most of us, we can take that beat, you know, and say, I may be offended, but it's not appropriate. My response is not appropriate. If I'm angry, like that's just a not an appropriate response to this, right? Like we take that millisecond to stop ourselves. We take that second to stop and go, what's the best way to handle this situation? What's the best way to deal with this? And, you know, Gage just, he doesn't have that quite yet. He's working on it. And there are a lot of instances where he's shown the ability to do it, but it's sort of touch and go. And it's something that we've been working on for a very long time and we'll continue to work on because it's something that he's going to need to really get a handle on, especially going into adulthood. So anyway, so we had this huge like kind of row at our house and, you know, he was very angry and then I got very frustrated and then I raised my voice, which made things even worse. And I try usually in those situations just not to get involved with it. I disengage with him because at that point when he's really, really upset, he's looking for a fight at that point. He is actually trying to engage me and say things that will get me to argue with him and get me upset and unhappy with him. And so I really usually just sort of, you know, I say things like, you know, unfortunate, you know, I can't talk to you about this right now because you're very angry. And it's one thing that was very difficult for a lot of people to understand, especially my daughter's dad, my ex. He never quite understood it. It was, you know, from the outside looking in, I can understand the perspective. If you don't know what's going on and you don't understand how Gage's brain works and you don't kind of understand the whole logic behind it, from the outside looking in, it appears that I'm basically just allowing my son to sort of just rant. I'm not parenting him. I'm not reining him in. But what most people don't understand is when I say to him, you know, if you want to be mad, that's fine. But I'm not going to engage with you on this. And when you're ready to talk to me, when you're ready to talk to me, then you and I can have a discussion. But until then, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to fold laundry. And then I sort of ignore it. You know, and every so often he'll say something, oh, and you just hate me. No, that's not true. You know, and I just keep folding. Well, you wish I was never born. Nope, that's not true either. Fold the laundry, you know. And he just sort of will rage and rage and rage. And most people, they never got it. They thought, God, how can you let your child behave that way? I'm not letting my child behave that way. What they don't understand is that at that point, when my son is that enraged or he's that, you know, riled up, nothing I say is actually going to get through to him. His brain has actually like shut off. He's just, he's stuck. What I tell him, he's stuck on mad. That's what I tell him. You're stuck on mad. You're stuck on mad. And until you're not stuck in mad anymore, you and I can't have a conversation because nothing I say is going to make a difference. He'll take what I say and twist it in order to use it to fuel his anger, to fuel his frustration, to fuel his rant. The logic will not actually pass through. His brain is stuck in mad. And so I just sort of wait. And not everybody understands that, and it's definitely a difficult thing to do, and sometimes I still struggle with it, you know. So like I said yesterday, I ended up losing my temper and losing my patience with him and ended up engaging with him. So, you know, while I try really hard not to do that, it's you know, I'm human and I'm a parent and there's only one of me. I'm a single mom, so, you know, my patience tends to run its course. You know, I exert a lot of patience for as long as I possibly can. But then, you know, like I said, I'm human. And, I think every parent at one point or another loses their patience, loses their temper. And it's, you know, it's, we're human. We're not meant to just be happy-go-lucky all the time. It's sooner or later something's going to happen. You know, your kid colored on the walls or, you know, ran red spray paint down the side of your car. Or, you know, there's always going to be something that happens that, you know, unfortunately we can't keep it in. But that's where the topic of this podcast kind of comes in. Something that we as a family have really tried to institute is what we call hitting the reset button. You know, and the premise behind this is that everybody has a bad day. Everybody has a bad moment. Everybody has something, you know, that sets them off or causes them to have a problem. And so when that happens with us, you know, we deal with the situation, you know, whatever happened. So for example, this issue with my son losing his temper because he thought I was calling him a liar about not having school. It simply was just a miscommunication. You know, there was testing today that he didn't need to be a part of because he's in special education. So he was told he didn't have to go to school. But because I wasn't aware of that, he didn't give me that note from the teacher. I assumed there was school because it doesn't say as a no school day on the calendar. Anyway, you know, details aside, it was basically just a big confusion. That's basically all it was. It was a misunderstanding that would have very easily been handled and, you know, through a simple discussion. But again, having a child with a brain injury, what would normally be a simple discussion doesn't always turn out to be a simple discussion. So we have what we call the reset button. We hit a reset button, and it's just a figurative reset button. We don't actually have a physical button, though I suppose you could maybe go out and get one. But what happens is, and what we do is, you know, we have the issue, whatever the problem was, we go through it, we talk about it once everybody has calmed down, you know, and typically, like I said, with my son, I don't engage him when he's raging like that. I wait until he can calm down, and then we can talk, and then he's able to have an actual discussion and an actual conversation where he can easily articulate why he's upset, what's wrong, what's going on with him, why he's angry, and I can explain and talk about my side and what the issue was for me and kind of work through it just like everybody else does. And but it's important that he be calm when that happens. Otherwise, it's never going to get through to him. And he doesn't actually learn anything from it. Me yelling at him and grounding him, it just makes it, it makes it a harder situation. It escalates the situation. So if there is a punishment to be had, it's something that gets discussed after he has calmed down. And sometimes that sets off a whole nother tirade, because no child likes to be punished or grounded. And so, you know, but we're able to then discuss the issue. And then once we've done that, we have the reset button. I say, okay, we're going to set the reset button and we're going to start our day again from here. From this point where we're all calm and we're all happy and everything's been worked out, we're not going to continue to discuss the issue that we just had. We're not going to go over it again. That issue is done. It's been resolved. We're not going to relive it. We're not going to bring it up again. We're not going to rub it in anybody's faces. We're not going to cause another issue by doing so. We are resetting our day. And from here, we're going to start again. And that's basically what we do. We stop and we take a minute and we decide we're going to move forward and we're going to be happy again and we're going to keep going. And you know, sometimes it's not as easy as that, depending on what's going on. But it's something that I find that I do even when I'm not with my kids. I have a reset button that, you know, for example, with work, you know, I have a client who's making me angry or a project that's really frustrating me, and I just find myself getting more and more and more and more agitated, and that's the problem. That's why we came up with this reset button, is that it's really important to kind of acknowledge when you're sort of going in that downward spiral, like the one thing sets you off, and then the next thing's going to set you off, and then the next thing, and then the next thing, and the next thing, and then, you know, the next thing you know, you're just like, today just sucks. Like, the whole day sucks. Right? And unfortunately, it happens a lot, and it's because of our mentalities. Like, something happens, it sets us off. You know, we woke up in the morning, got in the car, and spilled coffee all over the front of our suit on the way to work, right? And so that one incident, we just said, oh, you know, this sucks. Today's going to suck, right? And, like, we set our mindset that today is going to suck. And then the next thing that happens that would normally just be a mild, you know, annoyance becomes, like, 20 times worse, right? Because we've already had this mindset, oh, today is going to suck, right? So we've already put ourselves in the point that no matter what happens, everything that's bad is going to just be 10 times worse, right? You know, today's just going to suck. It's going to be that way, right? And we've missed the fact that, you know, it was so-and-so's birthday and they had beautiful flowers sitting on their desk. And we could have stopped and gone, oh, those are so pretty, and taken in just a moment of beauty, right? A moment of, wow, those are beautiful, and smelled the flowers, right? We could have missed the fact that, you know, so-and-so just found out they were having a baby and they're just elated, you know, that's joy, you know, and we've missed all of that because we've just decided today's just gonna suck, right? So I have that reset button. So I find that happens, like something happens that sets me off, you know, a project doesn't go the way I want it to, or a client calls and they're unhappy with something. And that mentality, you know, I'm like, oh, you know, I don't want to deal with this. This is just, I don't want to do this. Or I'm so frustrated because my system is not functioning the way I want to function. You know, the thing that I'm working on isn't doing what I want it to do. And I'm just getting really, really, really annoyed and just pissed off at my computer. Like, to the point where I really want to pick up my computer and throw it through the window type of frustration. And it's then when I realize, you know, it's like, okay, I need a reset. I need a reset. I have to hit my reset button and I need a reset. Okay, so I have to stop, I have to get up, and I'm going to go for a 15-minute walk. Or I am going to run to Starbucks and grab a coffee and sit at the table and drink my coffee and just sort of relax. I'm going to go and take a bath and sit in a bubble bath for 15, 20 minutes, you know? And some people, you know, they may not have that option, right? They may not be able to just get up and go to Starbucks whenever they want to. That's the beauty of working from home. I love what I do. I can sort of do what I want to do when I want to do it. But not everybody has that luxury. But you can, you know, get up and walk around the office. I'm going to go to the restroom and I'm going to splash cold water on my face. And I'm going to take 15 really deep breaths. And I'm going to think about some of the positive things that have happened today, or think about something positive that I can do, or I'm going to call my best friend because she always can kind of make me smile and laugh, you know. So there's a lot of different things that you could do, you know. So I want to it's just so very crucial and key to be able to have that moment to reset yourself, because, you know, having those days where, like, it feels like everything goes wrong, it's totally draining. I'm like, think about the days that you've had that happen, you know, where you felt like, oh my gosh, this whole day just sucked, right? Once the day was done, you quite literally felt bleh, like that entire day drained everything out of you, right? Think about it. And you shouldn't feel that way. Like, you shouldn't feel that the whole day was miserable. You shouldn't feel like the whole day was wasted or the whole day sucked. So you should be able to take a moment and give yourself a break and reset your mind, yourself, your attitude, so that you can move forward through your day and not feel at the end of the day, oh my God, I wish today had never happened, right? Because you should never have a day like that. You should never have a day like that. I mean, I'm sure that there's occurrences where something very tragic and horrible has happened, and of course those are gonna be terrible days. But there should never be a time when it shouldn't be a regular occurrence, really, let me, like that. It shouldn't be something that happens all the time. It shouldn't be a constant occurrence. And for a lot of people, it is. That's how they live their days. Like, their days, day in, day out, day in, day out. It's just like, today's gonna suck, today's gonna suck, today's gonna suck, today's gonna suck. And I can't imagine going through my life with that mentality on a constant basis. So, you know, take a minute and think to yourself, and this is kind of going to be not necessarily homework, but, you know, I would love it if you would comment and put some comments on, you know, what can you do to reset yourself? What are some of your reset buttons? What could you do to give yourself a reset? Can you get up and walk around the office and take a minute? Can you go during your lunch break, go downstairs and just walk around the block? Can you maybe take your child outside with you and go play for a few minutes? What can you do that will just give you a few moments of peace, of zen, of joy, of happiness, right? Of quiet calm. What can you do? And, you know, I know that there's probably some of you out there who are going, like, I stay home with my three children and their babies and they don't stop crying. Like, I don't get calm. Like, I don't get peace and quiet. And I totally understand that. I completely understand. One of the funniest things I think that I ever heard, and or something that I said to somebody, I can't even remember where it came from, but it was just like, the only peace and quiet, like, I don't even get peace and quiet when I go to the bathroom, right? Like, there's always somebody at the door, or there's a dog trying to poke its head in, or there's a kid sticking their fingers underneath the door, you know, like, hey, what are you doing in there? You know, like, you can't even get that moment of quiet to just like, can I get 5 seconds to pee? Is that possible? Can I do that? Like, I totally understand. So, you know, maybe you need to figure out a way where you can do that. You know, can you put your baby down for the nap, you know, or put your baby in their bouncer, or put them in their high chair with a snack, right? And, you know, they may be banging away on the high chair, but you can still take that moment to just kind of, you know, maybe step outside where you can still see them, step outside, see them through the window, just take those deep breaths. You know, take those deep breaths and just, okay, I need to reset. I'm just, from this point on, I'm starting over. From this point on, I'm not going to let the frustrations get to me. I'm not going to let the fact that my child just colored up and down my walls make my whole day upsetting, right? If I have to wait until tonight to clear off the crayon, then I will. You know, whatever needs to happen so that you can sort of give yourself that moment and just reset. And it definitely does take some practice. It takes some work. And I encourage everybody to do it as often as you need to. But it's sort of a sanity saver. I mean, to be honest, because nobody wants to be unhappy all the time. Nobody wants to be stressed out all the time. Nobody wants to be frustrated all the time. Nobody. But if you don't give yourself that moment to sort of flip that switch, you can't, like, you won't be able to go throughout the rest of the day. And you probably already do this in certain moments without even realizing it. But now I'm trying to get you to maybe make it a conscious effort and you know, give it a name. I'm resetting. And you don't have to say I'm hitting the reset button. You could know I'm doing a do-over, calling a do-over, right? Or, you know, I have a very good friend and client who says, okay, something goes differently than you had planned. Okay, plot twist, and then you keep going, right? Like, it's like, oh, all right, that wasn't what I thought was going to happen, but I'm going to roll with it, right? So, you know, whatever it is that you can do to just sort of help with that mind shift, because that's really what it is. It doesn't even really matter what the practice is that you do. It could be something as simple as, you know, I have one lady who has like a rubber band tied around her wrist, and I think it was like a method to stop smoking at one point, or it was some, I don't know, it's some sort of deterrent for her. But anytime she felt like she was sort of spiraling downhill into that like whole like frustration and just anger spiral, she would take it and snap her wrist with her rubber band. And it was like that wake-up call of, okay, time to switch gears, you know, time to, you know, switch my mindset. And I never personally understood it because I thought, you know, if I'm already pissed off, snapping myself with a rubber band and inflicting pain is probably not going to make me happier, but, you know, to each their own. So whatever it is that you need to do, but it's definitely, it's something that is super helpful, and it's a great mind shift, and it's so helpful with keeping a positive mindset to be able to just have that moment of zen, whatever it is that you need, to just sort of reset yourself so that you can finish out your day or finish out your moment without that, you know, that feeling. And everybody knows what I'm talking about, that feeling that just, like, you just want to, like, rip the hair out of every little baby doll, you know, just like whatever it is that you feel like when you're frustrated, you know, and angry, like I could just go and kick something, you know, whatever it is, like having that ability to have that reset and give yourself that 2, 3, 5 minutes, whatever it takes, to just reset and then move forward is key. It's critical to being able to have that positive mindset and continue forward in that. So, you know, I would love to hear from you. Let me know what you guys think of this, you know, concept and hitting the reset button. What are some of the ways that you do this? Do you already do this at home? Do you do this with your kids? And here's the great thing is that, you know, in doing this myself, I'm helping with my kids too. My kids are seeing it and I'm telling them, okay, you guys have been fighting. What I need you to do is go to your separate corners. They're like, you know, heavyweight champions. You go to your corner, you go to your corner. And I want you to hit your reset button. Take a minute and reset yourself from right on. And even when I've been upset with them or they get in trouble, it's like, okay, yes, you were in trouble and yes, you're unhappy, but you know what? You still can hit the reset button. Okay. You don't have to let this ruin your day. We went through it. We went over it. You understand the consequences of it. And now you get to move forward. Right. And it is, it's helping them understand that they don't have to continue to be pissed off at each other. They don't have to still beat each other's throats. It's like, okay, We got into it, we went through it, we got over it, and now we're moving on, right? Now we can play together, and I'm not holding a grudge, I'm not, you know, waiting until mom turns her back so I could throw something at your head, you know, like, it's actually very helpful for them so that they're able to realize, okay, I need to move out of this mindset and into a new mindset now because this instance is over. Now we're moving into something else. Now my day is going to continue on and I'm not going to be stuck in this rut. So please, I'd love to hear any ideas that you have for a reset button or whatever it is that you feel, you know, you want to call it, anything that you currently do, the practices that you have in your family. How do you manage when you need to change your mindset and come up with a shift so that you're not spending your entire day in just constant frustration? And, you know, as always, we'd love to hear from you. I love hearing from my listeners. So please be sure to comment, and I really hope that you enjoyed this and that was helpful for you, and have a wonderful week, and we'll talk to you again soon. You've been listening to the Single Mom Podcast, the place to go for support, encouragement, and maybe a few laughs along the way. Please also make sure you head on over to the Single Mom blog for more great stuff for single moms. We have resources, free things to print out, great articles. Can't wait to see you there. Be sure to leave feedback and comments because we love hearing from other single moms. And if you like this podcast, please be sure to subscribe.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELD-WEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELD-WEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.